This is The Mix on 90.7 WKGC, your local public radio station in HD. We're 8 minutes after 9 o'clock and a happy Wednesday morning to you. We've all made it to Wednesday. It's the middle of the week.
It's great. We're halfway through. We are halfway through the week.
That also means, Dr. G, that classes start just a few days.
Yes. Just a few days. Are you ready?
I saw her. I saw her actually teaching yesterday, so I think she's warming up. I think that was a warm up, like going to the gym to warm up.
Of course.
It's a practice session.
A practice session.
And just a reminder, if you haven't yet registered for classes, you can still do so. Classes kick off on Monday the 21st, but there's still space. So visit our website, gulfcoast.edu, or come on over and grab somebody here.
Yeah, talk to somebody.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, we have a special guest in the studio, Tom.
Yes, we do.
You knew that was coming. You had to expect that. It's too easy. We do not have the president of the United States.
He's staring at me now. I'm scared.
But we do have, it's far better, and that's the president of Gulf Coast State College, Dr. John Holnack. Welcome.
Good morning.
We're glad to have you here.
Happy to be here.
Well, you have been here at Gulf Coast, well, as president, this is what, year four?
Starting the fourth.
Fourth year. But you were here starting in, what, 1982?
Correct.
What position did you start at here at Gulf Coast? Get a little history here.
Student activity specialist. I was the first specialist the college ever had. When I got hired, they created a whole new low level.
And I appreciate that because I think I've been at that low level as well at one point in time.
No, you got hired in at a higher level than that level.
Okay, wow, that's good. So what all did you do in your specialist position?
Student activities and intramurals. Was a student government advisor, worked with clubs and organizations, volunteer activities, was responsible for the Lyceum Fine Arts Committee. We brought entertainment into the what's now called the Amelia Center,
right,
for community engagement events, music, that kind of stuff.
Fun. At that time, because you've had a number of positions on campus since 1982.
You make it sound like I can't hold down a job.
No, it's you're a man in demand.
He keeps climbing the ladder.
That's right.
Yeah.
They keep looking for things I can do.
This last one has to
work out.
Yeah, we don't really have another place for you, John, so you might want to hold on to this one. Okay.
They're running out of jobs.
They're running out of jobs to try you in.
Absolutely.
Was president on your radar in 1982?
Absolutely not.
When was it on your radar?
Ooh, goodness.
Scott's asking because he wants your job.
No, yeah. No, I wouldn't want your job.
I think we were just having that conversation a little while ago. It depends on what day and what time.
Sure.
Come by.
Okay. Yes.
And we'll see what we can do.
I'll pass on that.
Yes. Dr. McSpadden, when he was president here, had a planning charrette, planning retreat, if you will, out at Camp Helen State Park. And gosh, this must have been late 1990s, maybe right around 2000 or so. And I was either doing human resources or just move up to be the vice president of administrative services. And as part of that activity, he asked everybody in the room where they thought they would be in 10 years. Mm. And I had never thought about it till then, and it seemed like a pithy thing to say, hey, I think I'll be president in 10 years. Surprise.
Wow.
Good answer.
You were probably a couple years late. I mean, you didn't get on it quite soon enough, or somebody got your way. My calc says 4 years. But, yeah, the real question I have for you is, how has your familiarity with this campus and the myriad of positions that you held over the time, how has that, I mean, is that a big advantage to you in being president here? Because I don't know that there's any real place I can hide from you. You seem to have a very innate knowledge of what's going on here.
There are three places I haven't found you yet, mm-hmm, but I check them routinely.
Okay.
So if you happen to find them, I'll let you know that you're in one of them.
Okay.
The experiences that I've had at the college, probably of all the presidents that I've ever met and talked to, and we talk about backgrounds, mm-hmm, and things like that, not too many people do the student development, student affairs route, and the academic route, and the business affairs route before moving into the senior management team or the top position. So I'm a little bit of a rare bird, and I think it gives me a great deal of insight that somebody who came from perhaps a single track might not understand, but it also can sometimes be a bit of a burden because there's a lot of things that presidents don't need to know about the operation of a college. That's why we have great vice presidents and great deans mm-hmm. and great academic department heads. And I've been all of those things at this college. Mm. And so occasionally it becomes burdensome because I know things and worry about things that really somebody else should be taking care of, and they are taking care of them. It's just the nature of who I am that I noticed things because at different points in time in my career, it was my responsibility to notice and deal with things. So wow. That's the good and the bad of it.
Yeah, I wondered about that. I worked in a business where I started as a part-time and ended up being the boss. So I understand and can feel your pain because I would worry about what everybody in the building was doing at the time.
So I can honestly tell you I don't worry about what everybody in the building is doing. Mm-hmm. That hadn't mm-hmm. been a problem. But I will tell you, conversations I've had with HR directors we've had here, HR is a real tough issue these days. A lot of state and federal laws, oh, yeah. It's gotten way more complex. One of my former lives here, I was the human resources director for the college for about 5 years. And I'll meet with, we've got a new human resources director coming on next month. And I'll have the same conversation with her, which is, you know, one of the advantages of having a president that used to be an HR director at a college is there's a whole lot of things that you don't need to explain to me. You don't need to explain how insurance works. You don't need to explain the Family Medical Leave Act, Pregnancy Discrimination Act, Fair Labor Standards Act. You don't need to explain to me Title IX discrimination issues. There's a whole lot of things that all you have to do is say, well, we're talking about a Title IX issue. And I'm like, okay, got it. The downside is that there's a whole lot of things you don't have to explain to me. And exactly. I get to jump right to the issue of the questions yeah. and go, okay, wait a second, let's go back and talk about this. Mm-hmm. Or my favorite is when somebody goes, we can't do that. And I'll go, sure we can. And they go, no, I don't think policy will allow that. And I'll say, well, you know, I actually wrote that policy, and I'm pretty sure it will. Let's go back and check it again. So, again, that's just the benefit of longevity, mm-hmm. for want of any other thing.
We're speaking this morning with Dr. John Holnack, president of Gulf Coast State College. We'll take a quick break. We've got a little music. You like music?
Depends.
Well, that's
what
a loaded question.
What kind of music?
Well,
do
you've
like?
Impressed me so far with the pomp and circumstance, so we'll just have to see where you go next.
Well, our programming today on WKGC is sponsored in part by a gift from Bill Cordell at Raymond James in Panama City. Bill is not just a certified financial planner, but also certified in long-term care and a retirement income certified professional. He's been in the financial business for 31 years, and if you'd like to discuss your finances, contact Bill at CordellWealthManagement.com. Some steam coming your way in just a moment on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. And that's steam on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. Na-na-na-na, kiss him goodbye. That's not for you, Dr. Holnack, nor you, Tom. Neither one of you. Oops, I should turn your microphones on.
And that would help.
Yes, it does. We are in the studio this morning with Dr. John Holnack, president of Gulf Coast State College. By the way, classes kick off on Monday, the 21st, and we still have room, right?
Lots.
Lots of room. And I have been telling folks that
if we run out of room, we'll make more.
We'll make more room, yes. I've been telling folks that if they are curious about classes, they don't know what to do, just come to campus and grab somebody, because based on what we talked about the other day, somebody on campus should be able to point you in the right direction.
Probably many people on campus will be able to do that.
We would actually all be happy to point you in the right direction. Just find one of us. Yep. Any one of us. We'll
make
find
it easy.
The right person. Yes, we'll make it easy as we can.
So, and there are so many benefits to getting a higher education.
I was going
to
go there.
Dr. Holnack made a portion of your presentation, an internal presentation for us on Monday, the staff and faculty here at Gulf Coast State College. You brought up how some folks are actually against a college education now and thinking that it's not worth it. I find that hard to believe. I mean, I do hear some of their arguments, but tell us about, you know, how much more money does someone make over their lifetime by getting a degree?
Current research is that if you compare the lifetime earnings of a college graduate against a high school mm-hmm. Graduate only, it's about $1 million difference.
Wow. That's a nice retirement account there.
Okay. That makes a big yeah. difference mm-hmm. in quality of life and things like that. You know, what I was talking about on Monday was an editorial comment, maybe a column, in the newspaper that came out on Sunday by a syndicated columnist who happens to be a professor at a university who was degrading the value of a college education, which is kind of interesting that they work at a university, but they degrade the value of a college education, which means they obviously have a college education.
And a job due to their students.
And due to having that degree. And they probably do fairly well at that. But some of the arguments that were made by this person I found a little bit disingenuous. And the primary argument that it seems that he was proposing is that not everybody needs to go to college. It's perfectly okay to graduate from high school and go get some technical skills and go to work. Well, where does he think you're going to get those technical skills?
Exactly. Probably at a college.
A college or a technical center. Technical centers are post-secondary educational institutions like colleges and universities. And 40% of the students that attend Gulf Coast are in occupational programs, which means they're out here for anywhere from one semester to four semesters, and then they head to the workforce.
Right.
And get good-paying jobs, really good-paying jobs. Our health sciences students all get employed in their field as soon as they graduate. Most of the other programs are real close to that rate. There are some great employment opportunities coming with new business and industry that's coming to the area. We'll be doing the training for programs to get into those fields that have to do with advanced manufacturing, unmanned vehicle systems. Digital media is a growing area for which many of you are have a vested interest in.
Yes, sir.
Actually, currently, yes.
As we speak.
As we speak, sir.
And so when somebody makes an argument, it's a little bit frustrating. And my second pet peeve related to this topic is when people talk about how unreasonable the cost increases for higher education are. And I'll be the first to admit that college can be expensive.
Right.
At Gulf Coast, we are the lowest cost institution of all 40 public institutions in Florida colleges and universities. We have the lowest tuition and fee rates of all 40.
And you've made a conscious effort to keep it like that.
The Board of Trustees wants us to be a very high quality, affordable, attainable education. And we do that for this area. One of the things that aggravates me about those statements about how expensive higher education is, and it's true, some institutions the cost has gone up astronomically. Statute allows the state university system to have a little bit more flexibility in their tuition rates than the college system does, and it currently costs almost four times as much to go to a state university and get the exact same education that you could get here for the first 2 years. And so I'm not sure why people would choose to spend four times as much money for the same or better quality of education. Our classes are small.
Yeah.
You get to, the instructors get to know your name. The faculty know who you are. They care about who you are. You're not in a lecture class with another 250 students learning chemistry or something like that. You know, there's easy subjects to learn when you're in a group of 250. But when people talk about the cost of going to school and tuition has gone up. The one thing that never seems to make it into the newspapers, and since you gave me a microphone, I'm going to take the bully pulpit, is that let's just use Florida, for instance, and let's use the college system as a good example. When the recession started in 2008, that was a difficult time for Florida, for all states. Money was becoming scarce. People weren't spending as much. Most of the revenues that the state has to spend on things like supporting colleges and universities comes from sales tax. And if people aren't spending money, there's no sales tax on it, and so there's not as much funding available. So from 2008 to 2012, state funding for the college system went down for the whole system by 25%. At that same period of time, those 4 years, coincidentally, enrollment in our colleges went up by 25%. So you can see if the if you drew a graph and you see the funding going down and the enrollment going up, that's not a sustainable model. When the economy gets better, people go back to work, people start spending a little bit more money, the state's able to start spending money on more things like supporting colleges. That loss of funding between 2012 and now 2017, 5 years later, we are just now getting to the level of funding we were at in 2007. In fact, for 2017, our funding level of state funding was $2,000 higher than it was in 2007.
That's not much.
So, you know, it causes some concern, and particularly when you see the tuition rates going up astronomically. Well, I suspect not just at Gulf Coast and not just in Florida, but if you look at every place where tuition has gone up precipitously, typically the level of state funding or local government funding in other states, we don't have that in Florida, but some states do, the funding has gone down. And everybody talks about, wow, tuition's going up, but they never talk about why tuition's going up at the rate it's going up. Typically, it's because other funding has been withdrawn. And in order to keep the college, the doors open, the teachers teaching, and the lights turned on and things like that, there's a minimum amount of resources that it takes. And if it disappears on one hand, if you're going to keep the doors open, it has to show up somewhere else.
Right.
Or you do things like you downsize and lay off people and get to be a smaller institution. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of things happen. So that's one aspect of this discussion that we could have about the cost of education, and particularly right. when I was talking about what I said on Monday. I know another area that Tom is passionate about is, you know, what are we doing with colleges and how are students handling college costs? And a lot of them are borrowing money.
Yeah.
Right.
And we think, not just people like me who live in the arena, but economists and bankers and specialists and lots of deep thinkers that worry about important stuff, worry that the next financial crisis in this country, like home loans were, that crashed the economy and led to the recession, the next big problem we're going to have is going to be based on student loans. Because in reading in that column on Sunday and some other information that's been available and talking to some people, the average amount of debt that people are graduating from college with a baccalaureate degree in, something like $30,000.
Wow.
Wow.
Or more. And I've seen people, when I was in Tallahassee, I talked to people who would show up at our doorstep in the Department of Education. They would have gone to a private for-profit institution, invariably one that went out of business. They would have almost nothing to show for it, maybe 30 hours or a whole year. Half of an associate's degree from a institution that they can't transfer the credits from, and they'll already owe $40,000.
Right.
And they can't pay it back. They can't get a job with it. They can't do anything with that. They just have that debt to carry. And that debt, you cannot discharge through bankruptcy. You own that debt for life.
Yeah.
And that's a heck of a lot of unsecured debt, because there isn't anything. You didn't buy a house here, so that at the worst the bank forecloses on your house and tries to sell it. It's difficult to foreclose on your knowledge at that point.
Right.
So it is a scary thing when you think about the amount of unsecured debt out there that there is in student loans.
Now, if I'm a student, can you help us determine, is going into debt to pay for school worthwhile for me? How do I find out how much should I spend on tuition?
Well, you know, the whole concept of student loans was you get into a difficult spot, you've got a semester to go to finish, you need to borrow a little bit of money to get over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you didn't work as many hours as you needed to, your family couldn't give you quite the level of support. The idea of paying for a four-year education by borrowing money today,
right,
to pay for the education today and then spend the rest of your life paying it off, that might be a good model for some. Think doctors that have most people that are going to med school don't have the ability to work a part-time job while they're going to med school.
Yeah,
right.
That's
so
intense.
They're borrowing money. Once you finish up your baccalaureate degree, there's no federal financial aid. You're self-funding in most instances. But when you get your medical degree, you have a far higher likelihood. There we go. See if I can get those words out. Of getting a good paying job that will allow you to pay it off. But what do you do if somebody is paying off a $40,000 debt of student loans and they got a job as a school teacher?
You're in trouble.
You're not going to have enough discretionary funding after you take care of mortgage and car payments and insurance and food and medical costs and clothing. And if you have a family, you know, quadruple all of that. By the time you get to the end of the month and look at your discretionary income, you know, you're not going to have the $400 or $500 a month that you need to pay off that loan. Now, fortunately, there are some federal programs that allow you, if you go to work in certain kind of schools, that you may be able to discharge some of that obligation, but you're going to have to go work in a public sector, relatively low-paying job for 10 years.
Yeah.
But that may be an excellent trade-off for some. So that's why it's really hard for me to say it's a bad idea or a good idea. It I think, needs to be done with discretion. And to be honest with you, I've seen a lot of people as my kids have gone through. My son is currently enrolled at Gulf Coast. My daughter went to Florida State University. And I watched some of their friends who were struggling with how to pay to go to school. Mm-hmm. Didn't bother to do the research on how to get scholarships.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They didn't fill out the form for, did you fill out for federal assistance, Pell Grants and things like that. They just, you know, somebody sent them a credit card. Somebody at a bank said, come on, I'll give you a student loan. They did those kinds of things. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, depending upon what you do with it. If you pay off your tuition and your books and that's all you use it for, that might be a good investment, and you can keep those expenditures low. But what I saw is people making lifestyle choices. Mm-hmm. They would borrow to the max so that they could live in the nicest apartment complex that had the big swimming pool and the weight room and the all of the nice accoutrements. And you look at them, and they're driving a nicer car than I drove 10 years into my working career.
Yeah.
And that's important to them, that they have to have that while they're in school. But they're mortgaging their entire future and their family's future, because when they graduate, they have this huge student debt. And one day they decide, you know, I've got a family. I want to own a home. I want to buy a new car. Their credit is in horrible shape because they owe all this money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the ability to pay it off fast enough.
And Gulf Coast on the way in will help you mitigate some of those obstacles.
Absolutely.
Through the financial aid office, through the foundation. So really, the answer is do your homework before you.
Absolutely.
And the resources are here at Gulf Coast. To help you with that.
Absolutely. I would suggest to anybody that's listening that the loans have their place, but it should be your last option of a place to go. Mm-hmm. The best option is to pay as you go.
Yeah.
Whether it's somebody helping you to pay, or you going working part-time, or you're going to school full-time, but try and pay as you go, which means you really need to look for low-cost, high-quality programs like your local community college.
Absolutely. For me, I was a first-generation college student. My parents were unprepared financially and from a knowledge standpoint, that we had no idea what to expect. And so I get to pay that every month. It's
there
fun.
You go.
But, you know, looking forward, you know, we're already considering that for our kids and figuring out how to best handle that, knowing that those tuition rates are skyrocketing.
So I was several years ago when I first started at the college, one of the media outlets sent a reporter to talk to me, and we started talking about student loan debt. And I started talking about all of these problems we just discussed. And the expression on this reporter's face got horrible looking. And I finally stopped and went, oh, you have student loan debt, don't you?
goes,
I do. And I said, you don't have to answer this question, but I'm curious, how much? And he said, you know, it was my last semester, and I just ran out of money, and I wanted to finish up, and, you know, I borrowed $5,000. And I went, whoa, time out. I didn't say there was a problem with borrowing money. And that was the right reason. You wanted to finish up and get out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's not an unreasonable amount. I said, you know, how much are you paying right now? And he said, I think $200 or $300 a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, cool. Let's suppose, and I said, so I know how much reporters make. How easy is it for you to make that payment? He said, I'm doing okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish I wasn't paying that amount every month, because it's a big hit out of his discretionary income. And then I said, let's suppose that instead of borrowing $5,000, you borrowed $20,000. And your loan payment every month was four times as much, but you have the same job. Now where would you be? And he looked at me and he went, oh, my God, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I said, that's what I'm talking about. So, you know, if you're going to engineering school and your best option to get everything paid for is to go into debt, you probably have a fairly good chance of earning a good paying job. Mm-hmm. To help pay off some of that. But there are some jobs that are very rewarding jobs that the salaries are never going to be high in. And you really need to do that cost-benefit analysis before you ever start. And the people in financial aid will ask you those critical questions.
Right.
They'll lead you through that and go, let's explore all the other options first. And then if you have to go this route, how much do you borrow? What are you going to spend it on? And they will counsel you not to spend it on things like buying a new car while you're in college.
Right.
Why don't you keep the one that you have going as long as you can until you can afford to buy a new one when you already have a college degree and you're ready to move on?
Exactly. We're talking with the president of Gulf Coast State College, Dr. John Holnack, and there's some construction going around on campus. We're going to take a break. Can we talk about some of that in a moment?
I haven't noticed any.
Yeah, just a little bit. We'll fill you in.
Okay.
It's 9:38. We'll check in with News 13's Anthony Peoples for a look at that weather forecast. It's going to be hot. Right here on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. 90.7 WKGC, The American Authors and the Best Day of My Life. I like that song. You know where I heard it the first time?
Where?
It was a really inspiring place and moment. I was attending the elementary graduation at Parker Elementary School, which is a Title I school in this area. And they moved a couple years ago from a D school to a C school. It's a school where, you know, most of the kids are, by a lot of their family, are considered, you know, you're going to go work at the paper mill or you're not going to do anything. It's generational poverty and all of that.
Yeah.
But the sheer number of kids that were on the A honor roll and the B honor roll, and this is what they played as their class song. And it was a kind of a tearjerk moment when you see, when you see that community, because the place was packed with, you know, this is a, for some of these kids and their families, this is a big moment. And for, unfortunately for some of them, this may be the last and only graduation that they see simply because of the situation that they're in. So,
well, that is. And that's, I think, a lot of what we see around the community. And that's why what Dr. Holdneck was talking about as far as the ability to go to college, why college is important.
Yeah.
Because when my mom has worked in the lower income schools, and then when Dawn graduated from kindergarten, one of her friends said, "Aren't you so proud?" And she's like, "No, I expect her to graduate kindergarten. Talk to me when she graduates from college."
Yeah.
And then but for a lot of families, that's not even in their realm of thinking.
Right.
Yeah. It's sad.
Well, I see that as our future clientele. I mean, those are our students.
Yeah.
Those are our community students. And that's why we try to invest in them as early as we can, let them know that we're here. And I know you have a similar vision, Dr. Holnack, because we've talked about this before. And even folks from, you know, our service area, Gulf and Franklin, who have trouble getting here. I mean, you've talked about the need of, you know, sometimes they just need a ride and how difficult that is because of the distance. But so, yeah, I mean, We are definitely engaged with the community and see that. We talked before the break about, where I mentioned anyway, that we have a little bit of construction on campus and around our campus. I don't know if you've noticed. There's a little project out there on the Highway 98.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah. We're not just building a wall,
I don't think.
Oh,
you're talking about the flyover.
Something like that.
I thought
that
you meant the repaving in the parking lot
we
by the ball field.
We are doing that,
too. They're all related.
They're all related.
How is that related to the flyover project?
One of the things that we need to have ready by the time the flyover project is finished, because it's going to change the traffic patterns going in and out of the college.
Mm-hmm.
So we need our internal roadways to be ready to handle the new traffic patterns when the highway is finished.
Okay.
And so that's what we're working on now. The on-campus part of construction that is probably causing people some consternation is the entire roadbed is torn up from right out in front of the ATC on Collegiate Drive all the way over to the Wellness Building. And it seems like a fairly small piece of asphalt, except that that's where most people go back and forth from one side of the college to the other. And so if you want to make a simple trip of about 100 yards, you've got to go the full length of the campus and around the
all
other
all the way around.
The other end.
And back.
And back again. And it can be a little exciting. That should only last about 90 days or so.
Okay.
We've got a lot of work to be done, though, so we'll be opening and closing different parts of the roadway. So this phase that we're working on right now should be wrapping up probably April-ish. And when we're done, there will be where right field of the softball field is will be a roundabout that will allow people to come from one side of campus to the other, or make a right-hand turn and go out to what will eventually be another traffic light on 23rd Street.
That'll so we'll make have a very good. Interesting softball game.
Well, the coach did tell me that she was a little concerned, not about the asphalt, but about the players tripping over the curbs on either side as they're going back for a
And I don't want my car dinged up with softballs. I hate that.
Well, drive fast through that area.
That's right. So there is a plan for the softball field, I'm assuming.
There is not only a plan, but if you are driving past the college on 23rd Street and you look to, and you're headed north, look to your right, and you'll see a large cleared area, and that is the new Lady Commodore softball field under construction.
Have they started yet?
They have.
When I was over there, I don't know, a week or so ago, I saw they had some heavy equipment moved over there, but they hadn't done anything yet.
They are, as you imagine, softball fields need a lot of flat.
Yes.
So they're making sure that flat's flat. And they're starting to spread clay for the infield. Once that's in place, then they'll finish up the leveling of the outfield and lay grass. And then you'll see a building start to go up after that. But the grass is the first piece because we intend to play on that field in, I think the first game is late February, first part of March.
Wow.
We plan to be playing on that field this next season. So they've got to get the grass on the ground and start growing.
Are they doing some upgrading to the, like, irrigation and drainage and all of that?
Upgrading? There is no irrigation and drainage.
Upgrading from what we had before. I mean, new nice irrigation and drainage for the field.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've never built one.
Yeah, we do that on new fields.
Yeah.
Never part of the process.
Yeah, no. It will be a suitable collegiate caliber field.
Great.
One thing that's kind of neat that I think that the sports fans out here will enjoy is that rather than your traditional concession stand that you would build at a ball field to get used, you know, six or seven times a year, we are getting a food trailer. We will use that for the concession stand for games. And then when we're not using it for games, it will be available to the culinary program to be able to use when they're out and about doing culinary program kinds of things.
That's awesome.
So, you know, when we have special events for the college and things like that that we want to kind of show off. So be prepared. We may have a WKGC food raiser kind of program sometime somewhere in town.
You know, we like partnering with Chef Paul and his, he'll be a doctor someday, his 3D chocolate printer and those sorts of things.
You just like showing up in the afternoons when they do cookies and they have to find someone to eat
someone
them.
Someone yes. to check them out. Yes. I've offered myself, you know, risking, you know, life and limb to go down there and be a taste.
How do I volunteer for that committee?
Maybe stand outside of the window.
I'm not sure you're risking life and limb, but I think you probably are risking clogged arteries.
Yes. Well, that's true,
Tori,
too.
I just stand outside the window and look
just
sad.
Just look sad? Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
That actually works.
That's how I got my first glimpse and taste of the chocolate printer. I just stared at Paul through the window and just looked pouty, and he finally waved me in. It's a good guy.
Okay.
So, the flyover has had an impact on the college. We've got roadway issues. Any other major, we've lost some parking, clearly, because some of the roadway is already through what used to be a parking lot. What are we doing to bring back some of those parking spaces?
Well, it's going to take a little while to get it all replaced. We've got some future changes. The parking lot that's behind the wellness building is going to get enlarged. Potentially in the future, it may turn into a parking garage. The parking on the north side of the college is going to be reworked as part of the next phase. That'll go out for bid late this fall with an idea of a start time about the time that the current construction around the ATC and Wellness Building finishes up. And that's going to involve some additional parking spaces all the way up and down the north side of the college. So when we get done with everything, internal roadways, and before we go through a parking garage, we should be probably within 30 or 40 spaces of where we were before the major construction took all of the parking that it took. And then with some changes in shapes of the wellness parking lot, if you will,
right.
for want of a better description. People may think, well, gosh, that's all the way at one end of campus. Well, stay tuned. Campus is moving. The next building on campus that we're halfway through securing the funding for is a new STEM building. It will go between the Advanced Technology Center and the Wellness Building. So that parking lot that people think is on the far end of campus is going to be right next to the building that you take biology and chemistry
sure.
and zoology and environmental science and marine biology and physics and all of those courses.
All of those things.
Yeah.
And when do you anticipate, hopefully, the rest of the funding on that? I know it's been in the process for a few years.
It's been in the process for a lot of years. We've gone through a few political machinations to get where we're going. We've had the funding approved by the legislature and vetoed by the governor. We've had the governor supportive and the legislature not cooperative. We got another $5 million towards the project this last legislative session, and the next session starts early this year. So they'll go into session in January and be in session for 60 days. And I am confident that we're going to be able to get the last of the revenue that we need, the funding that we need to move forward on that
project. And
this
is an important building because the old science labs are... They're old.
They are the...
vintage.
About half of the building is the original, one of the original buildings for campus built in 1957.
Yeah. Which, by the way, we're about to celebrate 60 years.
Yes, sir.
So what a great segue.
Yes, sir.
We are having a 60th birthday party on September 16th, 15th and 16th. We're going to do some things here on campus for faculty and staff. Are you playing softball?
It's T-ball.
T-ball. T-ball, that's right. Are you playing on the T-ball team?
We'll see. Okay. I'm going to pitch.
Oh,
pitch a T-ball. Very good. I like that.
Based on what you did good the job. Other day, you could sell ice cream.
I can't sell
ice
cream.
You did a fine job with that. And
well,
then,
when you're the president, you can intimidate people to eat ice cream.
Well, that's true. I didn't fall for it, though.
Yeah, but many did.
Yes, they did. We also have some celebration things that are going on that Saturday. And I can speak for this because I'm on the committee and I came up with it. We've got a we've got a band of Gulf Coast alum that are going to close out the night.
Cool.
These guys have played around for a long time locally. They're very good. At least they said they were. And so
no, it should be good. They are good.
Tom vouches for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they are good.
And also I'm trying to confirm, but I think they're pretty good. We've got a group of students here called Horn Stew. They started at Mosley High School. They were in the studio last week, and they're really, really good.
I've heard them.
They're amazing.
And I've asked them to be our opening act.
Cool.
And I think there's no better way to celebrate what we do here at Gulf Coast than with our own alum and our
Absolutely.
Own students.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be a great night, and we'll talk more about that as it gets a little bit closer.
We hope to have that whole day is going to be in a community open house that we want the community to come out and enjoy their college. It's been here for 60 years. It's had a profound impact. We've now been around long enough that we have not just two, but in some instances, three and four generations of families that have all taken classes at Gulf Coast. I can tell you that my mom was in the, she made the president's list the second semester the college was opened in the spring of 1958.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gives you three generations in your family then.
Yeah.
That's true. How about that?
How about that?
How about that?
Well, we are close to the end of the hour here. I'm pulling up. So you all just keep talking. I've got to.
Okay.
I wanted to remind everyone that school goes back in session tomorrow, Bay County Schools. So there's going to be extra traffic. Look out for school buses. And the Bay County Sheriff's Office wants to let you know that speeding fines are doubled in school zones.
Yeah, you don't do that. That's bad.
Please be careful. We've been all summer now. We're not used to watching for students starting out on the road around the schools and school buses turning on their flashing lights and all that. Please be careful.
The crossing guards are out there, too.
Yep.
It is illegal to disregard their orders.
And I was around on campus yesterday, and this place is buzzing with activity, and that's not just faculty getting ready for classes and that it's
got a lot of people out here getting registered for classes. I'm looking for a good semester.
It's going to be a great semester. I was in the bookstore yesterday. There were lots of people in the bookstore buying books and checking on classes, and a lot of parents and students around. You could see that freshman look with a little bit of fear and anticipation.
And if you are an incoming freshman, or as I've seen a couple of times in the last few days, freshmen with their parent. A parental unit attached, please come by, talk to us. We'll help you find your classes. We'll, any questions you have at all, just grab one of us here at the on-campus staff or faculty, and we'll help you out. Everybody's really good at that.
You'll see people all over campus with college shirts on. Stop any of them and ask for help on how to get to buildings
look for
and
a
things
blue,
like
look
that.
Look for a blue name tag. We're happy to help.
Yep. Absolutely. Classes start on Monday. August the 21st, you still have time to register. Visit our website, gulfcoast.edu, and you can find out information about programs. And like we said, just grab somebody on campus, and if they don't know the answer, we have been told we've got to help them find somebody who can find the answer for them.
That's right.
But one way or another, talk to somebody. And you've got something.
Well, no, I just, on our way out, I was just going to hit everybody with a little more pomp and circumstance.
I think that was hail to the chief.
Hail to the chief.
I was not going to correct you on air.
Would be graduation.
Which is also a nice
which
time.
Might have been a better. Song. Might
would have been appropriate also.
Might have been a better theme for you actually, but
maybe so.
Maybe so.
That song makes me.
That's twisted.
Wow, that's
it's like something from
Deliverance.
What
are you trying to say, Tom?
That was the played at the inauguration of Jimmy Carter.
I believe you're right.
You're listening to The Mix on your local public radio station in HD 90.7 WKGC.